This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, the author of Gaza Conflict 2021, Hamas, Israel, and 11 Days of War. Jonathan and I spoke of this at the unusual anniversary marking the day when Hamas launched its provocations, waves of missiles flying out of Gaza. It's a year later, and the puzzle was, would they do it again because of all the provocations in Jerusalem? Well, it didn't happen, but Jerusalem Day is upon us within several days, the 28th, 29th. And I have this from European reporting. Hamas threatens Israel over planned Jerusalem Day flag march. A senior leader in the Gaza Strip's Hamas terror group, his name is Al-Masri, threatened to remove the flags from the Al-Aqsa Mosque with our missiles, end quote, as Israel prepares for its annual Jerusalem Day Old City flag march. Jonathan, I can't tell if this is anything new or not, because there's a picture of the Palestinian leader Ismail Haniyeh, and he looks angry, and he's got his finger wagging out there, and he's talking to an array of microphones. They didn't attack earlier in May. Is this an opportunity for them to launch some rockets or missiles to make it clear that they're the stronger horse in the contest with Israel?
It absolutely is, and I would be concerned about it. But I would also hedge a little bit in my own analysis. As I think we've talked about before, John, these wars don't usually go in back-to-back years. Usually Hamas requires some time to replenish its rocket stores, to rebuild after what was a destructive war last year. And in general, I don't know if they have any new surprises, which are the things they always like to spring on the Israelis whenever there is another round. In other words, it feels rather soon since the last conflict. That said, we have been tracking, you rightly point out, that there are a lot of the same circumstances that led to the war last year that we've seen in 2022. Whether it's a real estate conflict in East Jerusalem, tensions over Ramadan, disputes over just who owns what in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem Day is, without a doubt, it's provocative to the Palestinians. You have thousands of Israelis that march through the Old City, through the Arab quarter, as well as Christian and Jewish quarters. And they're carrying Israeli flags and asserting sovereignty throughout the city. I can imagine that Hamas might try to use this as an excuse for another round of violence. Although I do wonder whether perhaps they fire off a rocket or two in what's known as the southern envelope. Israel is usually willing to absorb an occasional rocket or two in this manner, as long as the central plains of Israel or Jerusalem are not targeted. So it'll be very interesting to see what Hamas chooses to do here, how far they try to push things. I suspect they're going to try to be a little bit more careful.
Would it suit Iran at this moment, with Russia leaving, to just push that button for a moment? I know Iran pays for much of this.
Absolutely it would, and especially if the Israelis are eyeing a counteroffensive against the Iranians in Syria, if they had to fight a two-front war, if they had to put out a fire in a southern jurisdiction while they're fighting in the north, that does not sound terribly convenient for the Israelis. So perhaps from a strategic perspective, this would redound to Iran's benefit.
Jonathan brings my attention to good news. Jonathan, this is a break in the action for a moment. I read from the report in these last hours from Middle East Eye. The United States is secretly brokering deals, talks between Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Egypt over the transfer of two strategic Red Sea islands to Riyadh. This, according to Israeli news, talks are ongoing to finalize the deal. What islands, Jonathan, and what does this mean, these countries working together?
Sure. So the story is briefly that in the 1950s, the Saudis gifted two islands, the island of Tehran and Sanafil. They gave them to Egypt, which was then under the control of Gamal Abdel Nasser, who was a pan-Arabist. He believed that that he could lead the entire world, the Arab-speaking world, to defeat Israel. That ultimately didn't happen. The Egyptians made peace with Israel in the late 1970s. The Camp David Accords were struck. And now all of a sudden, the Saudis are asking for these islands back. Now, what's interesting about this is that in order for that to happen, Egypt has agreed to do so. But in order for that to happen, Israel must also agree pursuant to the Camp David Accords. And so this means that Saudi Arabia and Israel are engaging with one another in an international geographic real estate issue. And it appears to be a friendly step forward. Now, if the Biden administration can leverage this further, who knows, perhaps there's an opportunity for greater normalization. This would be a huge win for the region and for the Biden administration.
Does it please Egypt? Because I can recall reporting that this upset the Sisi administration, and Cairo has troubles in all directions, including water and food. You know, Jonathan, the whole range of troubles in Cairo.
Correct. And I think that 5 years ago, there was perhaps some uneasiness that we heard out of Egypt when the deal was first announced or it was first floated. I get the sense that these last 5 years, the Saudis have been incredibly generous with the Egyptians. This is, of course, a country with a flatlining economy. They're not getting much tourism, and they're having just a very hard time putting the country back on track after COVID and everything else. So the Saudis have been plying them with billions of dollars. I think that more than compensates for these two small islands. I think they're pleased, and I do think that we may be watching the beginning of a new security block. If things continue to go in the right direction, one can imagine the Israelis working with the Saudis and working with the Egyptians and Jordanians to secure the Red Sea in particular, but perhaps also broader swaths of the Middle East. And I would say this is good news indeed.
And the Iranians are never far away from my concern. I've been taught always pay attention who pays for things. The Iranians on Jerusalem Day, we talked about whether it suited them or not. But the JCPOA, is that was also part of the conversation these last months of the Biden administration. So while we credit the Biden administration for entering into peace talks in the Red Sea, in the last minute, can we say where JCPOA is, where those negotiations are, Jonathan?
Absolutely. They're stuck over the question of the delisting of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, which is the Iranian regime's primary instrument for carrying out terrorism around the region. We are neither here nor there. There is no deal. There is no decision to end the deal. It is Schrodinger's Iran deal, so to speak. It's in a box. When we open it, we don't know what will be. I think the Israelis are obviously hoping that a deal is not signed. It would also give the Israelis greater freedom of action against Iran if there was no such diplomatic deal binding the United States or the international community to Iran.
Jonathan Shanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, the author of Gaza Conflict 2021, Hamas, Israel, and 11 Days of War Last Year. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.